Hi, I'm Charles. I'm an addict.
Hey, Charles.
Gosh, a lot of people. Very scary. This kind of, we know that this is about conflicts in recovery. And we know that, you know, if you look at the definition of conflicts, you look at it, it talks about disputes, quarrels with other people, disagreements, dissension, and things of that nature. And it's things that cause us, for some reason or another, not to get along with another person. Okay? That's why we have this whole step process that really helps us a lot. We do step work for us to get better, but also it allows us, you know, when we identify people in our 8-step, so we know who we have to make amends to in our 9-step, and as a maintenance step doing our 10-step, so that, you know, we promptly admit when we're wrong and things of that nature, and try and clear up those conflicts before they occur. However, you can do the best that you can, and you can try for these things not to happen, but they're still going to occur, no matter what. I don't care how many times you've been through the steps or what you try to do to make it not happen. You know, we have to still realize that we're going to have conflicts in our family, because some of these things are not going to change. You know, the dynamics that happened in your family then when you were growing up does not change a lot, and so even now that you're an adult does not mean that it's going to get any better. Sometimes it will. Sometimes it won't. Hopefully they'll mature and you'll mature as well. But the thing is, you realize more times than not, we're the ones that get better because we're actually working on ourselves by going through this whole step work process. And, you know, sometimes we wish that our coworkers or family members had a program like we did, you know, but it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes we don't even know what was the things that are underlying all these conflicts, you know. I think about, for instance, my son. I got clean when he was 6. He stopped talking to me at age 17, and he didn't talk to me again until he was age 25. And he had read this book called The Purpose Driven Life, and he says, and it came out to him in his mind that, well, if God's going to forgive me, I guess I got to forgive you. And that's why he did it. But that's not why. He didn't really want to forgive me, but he did. But over time, you know, things have gotten better. My son's now 35. We have a great relationship. I get to see my 3 granddaughters, you know, things like that. And so just because I was clean and doing the right things from age 6 to age 17 from him, it still didn't stop that conflict from occurring. Things are still going to occur. I mean, sometimes you run into people with power struggles. People, and that usually happens in the dynamic when you're at work. You know, and people, and somebody wants a position, or they, you know, they just have to make themselves the best one in the shop, or in the, you know, wherever it is that you work. And, you know, they're going to try and lord it over you, and they want to always be right. And sometimes they'll even do that at your expense. So you have to think about that a lot. I saw that a lot. I'm also happen to be retired from the military. And a lot of times, you know, it was about because they have more rank or whatever it is, you know, they had to make themselves stand out. But just because, you know, you have the loudest voice and the most rank doesn't make you right. You know, it does not make you right. But a lot of times we still end up, because of the position that we're in our jobs, because we need our jobs. I mean, otherwise nobody wants to live on the street again, you know. All right. You don't want to go there. So because of that, you know, you're going to sit there and you're going to bite your tongue, and a lot of times that you want to say something or you know something is wrong, and you might try and say something, and there's sometimes there's repercussions. Even though you may do the right thing for the right reason, you can still suffer because of it. I mean, that's why they got laws like this whole whistleblower thing that goes on. You know, there's also, like I said, you know, just people that just you don't even know. I mean, how many times, you know, here you sit down to eat dinner and the telemarketer calls, right? I mean, that's caused some conflict in your life. You know, you might be discussing things with your family or your significant other or whatever, your kids, whatever, and these people are disrupting your life. You know, that's a conflict, and you just want to get off the phone and you want to tell them some choice words, and they're not Sunday school words. Things like that, but those kind of things. And then once again, even with people who are in your life, sometimes even when you don't get along with somebody, that they're going to be in your life for the rest of your life. You don't even have to be married. But if you're married to somebody, or even if you're not, you have a child with somebody, that person's in your life for the rest of your life, whether you want to or not. when that kid goes up and does anything noteworthy, graduates high school, does whatever, gets married, has children, you're going to have to deal with that person all over again. So you're going to have to find some way to peacefully coexist with that person. And it's not an easy process. Like I said, just remember, you're the one with the program. They're not the one. It's you. Sometimes they are the person. They might have a program. But as we know, we're at different stages of development in our program as well. You know, some people are further along in the process, and that changes a lot of things. Sometimes you also have to look at why things occur, and that's another big part of the whole process in the whole conflicts and trying to deal with these conflicts, you know, because a lot of people have ulterior motives. Why are they doing what they're doing? You know, and sometimes, and you have to try and sometimes walk in that other person's shoes to see what it is that they're thinking. And even though what their behavior may not be correct, you still have to deal with it. You know, you still have to deal with that person. And like I said, and so I've also often have heard in meetings, nothing original for me, none of this. But, you know, they talked about, you know, the steps are for you, help you get better, improve your life and the person that you are, and the traditions are there to help you get along with others, you know, and they do help you. I mean, it helps us between other NA groups and things of that nature. Sometimes also in the whole conflict resolution thing, because they said you shouldn't just bring the problem, you need to bring the solution to it as well. And so sometimes you have to wait for the opportunity to say something to someone, you know, and it may not be the right time. Usually when people's anger is flaring and things of that nature, it's not a good time to try and make any reason out of it. You know, it's just like trying to talk to that person if, you know, you're doing a 12-step call and they're high. It's not going to make any sense. It's not going to do any good. You know, so you have to wait for the right opportunity. And I have to admit, sometimes waiting for that opportunity, the right opportunity, is hard to do. You know, you want to do what you need to do. You got your own time frame. You got things that are other forces that are making you want to do what you want to do, and you want this thing to be over. But sometimes you have to wait for that other person until they're ready for to help make things a little bit better. That's why we also have each other in these rooms. You know, you have your network. Of course, you have your sponsor. But a lot of times, you know what? Don't forget your higher power. Your higher power should be probably the first one that you should go to. Because when the sponsor's not there, your network's not there, it's always you and your higher power. You know, you got like a little red phone, like the government phone, talk to the president. You can talk to your higher power just like that, you know. And you have to take advantage of those situations like that. You know, and more times than not, if nothing else, you know, never miss an opportunity to be quiet and don't say nothing. You know, and that way, at least you can't get in trouble for what you said or what you did because you didn't do anything. So sometimes that's the appropriate, doing nothing can be the appropriate action. And also we learned with this whole thing of dealing with conflicts, we have to deal with resentments. And a lot of times we have resentments against people. Like, you know, I remember, I'm sure we've all have felt that, you know, if you've done, you know, when you have to make amends to someone, and you say, well, why do I have to make amends to them? You realize you have to keep your side of the street clean. I did this, this, and this, and they did these things that are way worse than what you did. But you still are called to do your part. Remember, we're powerless over people, places, and things, and the main thing right there is people. We can't control what they do, but if we keep our side of the street clean, then we're going to be fine in what we do. Another thing that goes along with amends, it's not amends that goes along with trying to reduce these conflicts or trying to make them a little bit less. It's also a matter of, you know, we have to change. And a lot of times that same person that this person may remember when you're going to try and resolve this conflict or deal with this person's conflict, you're not the same person that you once were. You're a different person now. Most of us don't even know who we are when we first come into recovery, and we're trying to find out who we really are. You know, we realize how sensitive we are. I say that, you know, a lot of people, and I don't mind putting myself out there because I'm at the end of all the stuff anyway, but, you know, I've been a nurse for a lot of years. And people think, oh, nurses, they have this nice caring attitude and they want to be there for people. Not me. I went to nursing because there's always going to be a job. People have no control over getting sick, and I'm always going to have a job, you know. And I really don't really care to talk to you. That's why I work in the operating room, okay? I pass the right instrument, the right time. Doctor's happy, I'm happy, I get a check, you know. Those kind of things, you know. But I realized over time in finding myself, I realized that really that a lot of things that people had said to me when I was a kid, because I was a little short kid. When I went to high school, I was like 4'10". So I took a lot of beatings, to say the least, from a lot of bigger kids. But I realized it made me a sensitive person. And I realized later on that sensitive person came out. I joined the military because I didn't want to be that sensitive person. And I could be a jerk if I wanted to be. And by virtue of being a nurse, I was an officer, so it's like there's fewer people over me, under me, you know, fewer people that I had to deal with. But there still were the people I still had to deal with. But I knew I had to change because, you know, just because people do things to you doesn't give you any right to do anything back to somebody else. You know, and as they say, you know, karma is a, you know, or what goes around comes around, you know. And, you know, you don't want, like, sometimes it's just like you tell your sponsee something, and then you go through something, they tell you something, it comes right back to you, you know. And it's the same thing, you know. You don't want to, you don't need to perpetuate bad behavior by, you know, just passing on the bad stuff to, you know, about other people. You want people to treat you better. And, you know, you constantly hear people say, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated. Technically speaking, that's wrong. You want to treat people the way they want to be treated. Because what you like may not be what they like. You know, I remember, you know, I've been married 3 times too, so let you know I'm no shining star. But, you know, here I am, like I said, I'm a nurse, and my third wife got sick. And like I have a chronic illness as well. And so I know when I'm sick, I just look, put my medicine near the table, put some water nearby, 3 times a day, bother me, shake me, and make me some food. And other than that, I'm good to go. And, you know, she kept checking on me every 15 minutes and driving me crazy. And so anyway, later on, you know, some months down the road, she got sick. And I treated her the way I want to be treated, right? She said, "You are not a good nurse." "You didn't come to check on me. I could have been in here dead," you know, and that kind of stuff. So it's you have to treat people the way they want to be treated, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in your family. You know certain people in your family can't handle conflict. So, you know, you got to come to them with a quiet voice. You can't be, if they're coming at you loud, you can't come back at them loud. You got to kind of diffuse the situation. If the situation just occurred, there's a lot of emotion right there. You got to wait till that emotion has died down some or gone away so you can both can talk about it, you know, because it's one of those biblical principles. They used to say, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Hell, you'd be up for days. And it just ain't happening, you know. But you can also say to that person, you say, "Look, you know, we're not getting along right now. Now is not the time. If they're not ready to talk about it, you're not ready to talk about it," you can say, "Right now is not a good time. I can't talk about it." You can make an appointment to talk about it. "We'll talk about it tomorrow afternoon or a couple days from now or something. Or let me sit back and wait a moment till I'm ready to talk about it." Because one person may be ready well before the other person. Like I said, I'm one of these people, because of the kind of work that I do, I have to make decisions right away about what's going on, you know. But my third wife, she was not like that. You know, she's used to, she can kind of sit back and wait a while to talk about things. And it's like, I'm like, when is she going to talk about this thing? When are we going to resolve this? And in the meantime, there's all this tension in the household, you know, and that's not a good situation. I don't know about you. I'll tell you one other thing. If you're a guy, make sure you buy comfortable furniture, because you got to sleep on the couch. It better be comfortable. But, you know, I'm just going to end it right here and say that conflict is inevitable. There's nothing we can do about it. We can do our part as best we can to make it so that it does not occur, and we keep our side of the street clean, but it's still going to happen. You know, we can try and decrease it. We can try to alleviate the problem. But you realize, you know, you're dealing with different people and different personalities. And just realize that we are all a product of our experiences. Something that happened to you, I don't care how old you are, I'll be 63 in 4 months, but there's things that, you know, how my father disciplined me as a child, that if I think about those things, and that happened, gosh, 50 plus years ago, still make me cry. Still make me cry. So you have to realize, other, just like things affect you, they affect other people as well. And so you have to try and see, sometimes walk a mile in that other person's shoes to see how they feel and how they're dealing with things sometimes. And hopefully if you can see, not because it's easy for you to see your side, but if you can see part of their side as well, it might help you deal with the conflict. Thanks for letting me share.